Blog Talk Radio.
Show. This is your host, Indira Mendez, and today's date is January 21st, 2021, on a Saturday evening, and tonight's topic is about what determines our moral compass and values in life. So, I'm just basically going to give a brief synopsis on what determines that moral compass and what our values in life consist of. So, some of the things that I came up with in regards to when it comes down to people's moral compass is really influenced by their optimistic views, being ethnically right. Sometimes on the flip side, to a person's moral compass, it can also be from a pessimistic view, and sometimes they can be economically competitive. So these are some of the motivating factors that influence our moral compass. And I'm going to give some examples of what that consists of. So when it comes down to a person's optimistic view, it has a lot to do with how the person perceives certain things and what's being presented to them. So usually a lot of times, you know, people that are optimistic don't really go with the first choice of things, or they really open to different possibilities of, you know, finding a solution to certain things. So when it comes down to a person's moral compass and being optimistic, it just shows that when, let's say, if they have a problem or an issue, they're not narrow-minded. And, you know, based off not being narrow-minded, they're able to see things from a broad perspective when, you know, a person with a moral compass have an optimistic view on things. And then when it comes down to being ethnically right, it has a lot to do with the person's upbringing and how they were raised, how they were, you know, in their early ages, you know, how they brought up, and, you know, what are some of the things that, you know, were pillars in that person's life would, you know, eventually grow up within their adult life. So it goes back to the person ethnically being right about certain things. So when it comes down to right or wrong, you know, they will really go back to originally how they were, you know, raised and things of that nature. So now when it consists of the flip side of that, when a person is pessimistic or economically competitive, what eventually happens when, specifically when a person is pessimistic or have a pessimistic view, they really don't, like, they really focus on the important things or important factors of their life, you know, personally, and they try to, you know, stay focused on, you know, their needs, you know, their family needs and things of that nature. So when it comes down to the external part of dealing with other people, they may not have much patience or care for other people when they have a pessimistic view. So when it comes down to the moral compass, it's like they're doing right for themselves and they're doing right by their family. But when it comes towards another family or so, they can have a pessimistic view on being able to help another person because they're going to put their needs first before the other person, if that makes any sense. And then when it comes down to being economically competitive, you know, again, once again, it goes back to a person's moral compass, especially when a person is very ambitious and they're going out, you know, to use the family factor again. They're going out to, you know, apply for an occupation or something or a career. You know, they just going out, putting themselves out in the market, so it's very competitive. So usually they thinking about their family, they're thinking about feeding their family and being able to provide stability and things of that sort. And sometimes that can cause a person to be extremely competitive, but it goes back to their moral compass and how they gauge what's most important and what's not. So even when you you bring this all into one dynamic, it has a lot to do with the person's self-development and the characteristics over time. So I would say normally when a child from the ages, from a baby on up, from a baby up until the age of 7 is a very critical point in that child's life, because whatever is being taught to them or how they're being brought up is going to be like a strong factor into how they're going to be as a person on into their adult life. So sometimes, you know, when it comes down to both parents raising a child, it's very critical that both parties play a part in the child's life and the child's development, because, you know, if you have a, you know, you have a child and you raise them in a negative environment, and you're not, it's not really a conducive environment, and, you know, it's not uplifting for the child, sometimes it can cause the environment to be very toxic, and then the child might become mentally damaged and develop mental issues over time because of the type of environment or people that they are around. So this is why it's very critical and important, you know, from the ages of 0 all the way up to the age of 7, to make sure that you are raising your child up to be, you know, morally right children, you know, and being able to differentiate right from wrong. Okay, so now, don't get me wrong, sometimes, you know, not to go off topic, sometimes there can be hereditary diseases, mental diseases, to where it can be passed on to children. And, you know, sometimes there's nothing that, you know, no one can actually do about that, because it's transferable through being hereditary to the child. So what I would suggest is that, you know, even though you might have a child, you might be raising them up properly, on the contrary to everything, and you realize that they do have a mental issue, and sometimes they might need to be, they may need to be either medicated, they take medication, or sometimes they may just need to go through behavioral, you know, therapy or something of that sort, you know, when, you know, their behavior or things is not up to par. So you just got to seek a psychologist or a psychiatrist when dealing with, you know, children that have mental issues or things of that sort, you know. So not to real topic, but, you know, different people have different, you know, things when, you know, raising children or just in general. But I say all this to say that, you know, when your child, when whatever you're going through as a child and as you raise up and you're going through different phases of, you know, the age and things like that, you're developing experiences, you're developing characteristics, you're picking up a lot of things from other people on how you could live your life. Sometimes, even in, during the teenage years, you looking how to see how you can live vicariously through other people by, you know, having them as idols and things of that sort. So, you know, it's different phases that, you know, an individual can go through and what they take on into their adult life. So based off of how you run a family unit, you know, how a family was operated and their children, you know, during their child rearing ages is important. So that's just my view when it comes down to self-development and characteristics. And some of the characteristics of self-development, as I said before, would be something like patience, being able to differentiate what's right and wrong, being able to empathetically, you know, relate to other people when they're going through certain things. Those things are very important, because when, you know, you're in your adult life and you become insensitive towards other people's situations and things of that sort, it goes to show that something had went wrong in your child-rearing ages, or it could just be a mental defect that the person has just in general when you don't have no sensitivity or not empathetic towards other people in their situations. So So sometimes people's moral compass can be off, especially if a person is a sociopath or they are, I forget the other one, but people that that have like those psychological disorders, they don't have no sense of moral compass, you know, and they can't differentiate what's right or what's wrong. Only what, you know, what they can fathom that is right in their mind, you know, from their perspective. So, again, what determines your moral compass in life is your perception, your experience, your maturity, and your ability to think logically, okay? And when it comes down to those four things, you have to ask yourself, do we define ourselves or do other people define who we are? Okay, and when that, even though that's a two-part question, you know, when you think of it as, you know, do we define ourselves, that's basically about self-development, to whereas you're building yourself up as a solid person. You're not really concerned about what other people think of you. Yes, you are considerate of other people and what's going around, you know, around, aware of what's going around you. But you know that your self-development is most important and you being a well-rounded person and a solid person. So as I said before, your moral compass is dependent on your perception, your experiences in life, your level of maturity, and logical thinking. Okay? Now, on the contrary to that, if you allow other people to define who you are or what you are, then you are playing into egotism. To whereas you're not going through a self-development, you allow other people to inflate your ego, and that's not good because it's almost as if you're building up an amateur, you know, and it's not who you are authentically, because you're pretending to be something that you're not, or you trying to cater to the image or live up to the expectation of other people and what they require of you, and that's not really who you are, okay? So on the contrary of all of that, and when it comes down to your moral compass of what's right, what's wrong, and what's just simply logical, you have to go back to your self-development, you know, and understand, you have to, you know, really take an analysis on what is broken and what is solid within you and what you can work with as a person and moving forward. And usually that come by way of developing characteristics that are not, you know, visible to, you know, the natural eye of people, or, you know, you're not doing it to just please other people, but you're doing it when nobody's watching you and you knowing that you're going through whatever struggle, or you trying to learn a certain aspect of developing your character, whether it be patience or it be you being able to be a little bit more empathetic towards other people, more understanding. It could be you time management, being disciplined. You know, certain things that you have to develop as a person is most important, okay? So with that being said, I'm going to open up the lines for any questions, comments, or concerns.
Yes, hello? Can you hear me?
Hi, 347, you on the air.
Yes, can you
hear me?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear
you
clearly. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, see, when you're talking about the moral compass and, you know, mm-hmm. how people measure, you know, right and wrong, if I'm not mistaken, this is the topic and not your moral compass between right and wrong. Moral, how do you measure? Hello?
Yes,
dealing
hello?
With the moral compass. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Mm-hmm.
I'm saying this is dealing with the moral compass on, you know, right and wrong and the measurement of what right and wrong is due to the, you know, by way of your moral compass.
Yeah, it was like what determines your moral compass and values in life. Yes. Mm-hmm.
What determines it is basically your upbringing and, you know, your sense of righteousness. I don't even say right and wrong anymore. I say righteousness. I think that going forward, because people have always been teaching their children right from wrong, and right from wrong can be subjective. So what we need to be teaching ourselves and our children is righteousness, and that is doing, you know, what's what is what is in alignment with logical and rational behavior, you know, toward one another, you know, treating people as you want to be treated and whatnot. You know, that's righteousness.
Right.
When you try to treat people as you want to be treated, you want to be treated on a higher level. You want to be seen on a higher level, or, you know, be dealt with on a higher level, so you should deal with others. That's righteous. When you deal with people as you want them, you know, as you want to be dealt with, when you deal with people justly and fairly, and, you know, not try to, you know, take advantage of people, that's, you know, righteous behavior, you know. So we need righteousness, not right and wrong.
Right. And I was also trying to explain that when, you know, people are working on that self-development part about themselves, you know, a lot of times, you know, you have some people that, you know, battles with being a people pleaser, and sometimes they could be working on something and want to show other people that, oh, I can do this, I can be a better person, but it's not so much of trying to prove to other people how they can be better as a person is more about, is more for them than it is for somebody else, is what I basically wanted to, you know, emphasize on when, you know, people are going through that self-development phase and them understanding that you have to do it for you, you know, whether it's losing weight, you know, and, you know, you might desire to have a partner with you, but if you don't have a partner, you got to still have that discipline within yourself to go and do it for yourself and be able to achieve those goals, those weight loss goals. So that's basically what I, you know, wanted to make emphasis on when it comes down to a moral compass. It's not about proving to other people how good of a person you are or trying to prove to other people that you are a better person. And not to just say, you know, you per se, but, you know, just generally speaking.
Well, when you are operating from a state of righteousness, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. People, you know, people, here's the thing with people who are self-righteous. This is the difference between those who are righteous and those who are self-righteous. Self-righteous people do things or do what's good because they want other people to look at them favorably. Righteous people do things just because it is just. They're not trying to, they're not concerned about how people look at them, how people judge them. They do it because it's just. We don't use the word right. We use the word just. What is justified?
Mm-hmm.
What is, you know, what is you know, righteously justified in doing, you know.
Right. So usually, when a person is righteous in their ways and their thoughts, usually whatever they do, it goes in sync or is always in alignment with something, you know, greater, or, you know, It highlights a point much better than a person who's trying to be self-righteous and trying to, you know, prove to other people that they can be a great person when their ulterior motives or intentions will go in question by other people who they're trying to prove themselves to, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I said, and going forward, this is what will differentiate us in the future, that we're not trying to do what, you know, right or wrong. We're trying to be righteous within ourselves, and that is true supremacy within yourself. As long as the moral compass is righteousness, that should be the moral compass, righteousness, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is righteousness. You see.
Okay. That's
when
good.
When you're able
excellent.
To do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to go move along to what determines our values in life. And there's a few things that determine our values in life, and that could be our accomplishments, what we cherish most, what we give meaning to. It could be the knowledge and education we develop over time and what we learn in life. And it can also be impactful events or experiences that a person go through that can, you know, be pillars of values in their life. So an example of that could be, you know, their family, their career, social status, and their reputation. These are all values that a person may have, you know, as far as, you know, when it comes down to the moral compass and values in life. So when it comes down to the integral part of values, a lot of times people invest their time and energy into, you know, their family, their careers, and their social status. And when it comes down to that all being allocated into the time, their energy and investments, you know, it all goes down into the sub-values of the people who they value, the places, and, you know, the material possessions that they acquire over time all ties into, you know, their investments and energy and time that they spend in these areas, whether it be family, career, social status, or reputation.
Okay.
So let me ask you a question, if you don't mind me asking. What do you think of a person that has this mindset of, you know how when somebody's going through something, or let's say it's a collective group, and you got that one person that say, that's not my problem. How do you consider that person when they say something like that? When there's a responsibility of something to get done, but they say that.
Well, I say that you could feel any way you want to feel. They could feel as though it's not their problem. But see, ultimately, what people don't understand or what they don't understand is that when you are in a community, when you are collectively within a community, if there's a problem with one, there's a problem with everyone. Even if you're living in a neighborhood and you have people living next door to you, and you see somebody, a child being abused or hurt or some kind of way, or a woman or somebody being hurt or abused or things going on, it is your business, because you got to live next to that. You have to live next to people who are doing that, and that could eventually harm you or your child. So this is why I say, you know, we have to take the mindset of community and push out and get away from those who are not community minded, because then you're just going to have a bunch of people doing whatever the hell they want to do and whatnot, with no rules, no laws, no boundaries, no nothing, and righteousness goes out the window. And then, then all kinds of unjust behavior and degenerate behavior starts to take away. So,
Right. So, so let me just ask a quick question: what if you don't live by the person, and even though those are possibilities that can go wrong, but what if you're on the street and you see a dispute between a guy and his and his wife or his girlfriend or whatever, and he's
so well nowadays you could say that a guy and his husband nowadays could say that, but anyway,
but
yeah, so you know, you don't get involved in couple business or you know, type of businesses or whatnot, but still and all, like I said, you shouldn't keep that in mind. You really gotta watch out for stuff like that when it's coming around you, because you shouldn't want that kind of chaos and confusion around you. So, you know, like I said, we have to, as a community, check ourselves and check each other and make sure that we are, you know, operating at the highest frequency as a community, and that highest frequency is righteousness. We have to be righteous people, and I mean real righteous people, not fake righteous people, not self-righteous people, but real righteous people.
So even in that situation,
I'm gonna do a broadcast on that on my I'm gonna do something about self-righteous versus righteous. I'll do something like that.
That's good.
But yeah, that's what we have to do.
So,
yeah.
so, I'm sorry. That would be a good title to talk about. So you saying, in other words, that do you think it's right to just keep walking away and you seeing this woman being abused by her husband or her boyfriend? You think it's best to just walk away? Or do you think,
walk away and call the cops. Don't let nobody see you doing it, though. Don't let them see. She be on, he be on jumped on you, and she be watching her jump on you. But, you know, but like I said, you do it, get involved from a distance. But, you know, after a while, people start learning that, you know, you start learning these people like being in these type of things and these kind of turmoil, and it's just meant to pull other people in. But, you know,
toxicity.
You know, you people like that toxicity. So you deal with that from a distance. You don't deal with that up close. You know.
So yeah, right. So I would just say a person that has that type of mindset, that's not my problem, usually operate off of being self-righteous and they selfish. And even with a person, that turns a blind eye. Let's say you see a person that's in need of help, and you know that the person needs help, and they either ask you for help, or if they don't ask you for help, but you could clearly see the person needs your help, but you keep walking, do you think that's morally right? Or just like, you know, just totally wrong for a person to do?
I think that it's a judgment call, because a lot of times people try to get involved in certain situations. And, you know, I've seen certain things with guys, you know, going back and forth with women and arguing, you know, got physical. And I'm not my business, because I'm not trying to be fighting with him. And then next thing you know, you end up fighting with her because she's trying to protect him. And that's, you know, you jumping in something that don't concern you. So,
right,
you know,
so sometimes you just gotta walk
like
away.
That.
You know, but some things are good to, one thing I would say is to just ask the woman, is she okay? If she be like, she okay, whatever the case might be or whatever, and then just keep walking. That's what I think sometimes
Women shouldn't do that. Hold on, women shouldn't do that if they see a man beating on them. They shouldn't ask. They should, because the man turn around and start beating on you.
No, a woman should walk away and call 911. Not go close up to vicinity, but I'm saying, like, for a guy, you know, he don't have to get involved, but he could just ask, is she okay? And, you know, if she see otherwise, and by his judgment call, you know, if he think that she's not okay, he could continue to walk away and call 911 for her, but not get involved in an altercation.
Okay, well, ultimately, the moral to this story is, and the moral to this broadcast should be, we govern ourselves with righteousness. That's how we should govern ourselves.
That's
as mentalists, as the bright race, we govern ourselves with righteousness, not through self-righteousness. So we don't need to worry about everybody else's moral compass and whatnot, because most of these people out here ain't got no goddamn moral compass. Their moral compass is broken. They born with broken moral compass. What the hell with these people? And
I just wanted to differentiate the type of attitude that you shouldn't have when it comes down to having that moral compass, like turning a blind eye to someone who's in need of help. It could be somebody who's hungry, or somebody that asks you for a dollar and you know you have a dollar, but you don't give the person the dollar. Like, stuff like that
that ain't got nothing to do with morals. That's, like I said, you know, that's any given day. Like I said, you can have, you know, that's just, you know, random stuff. I'm talking about how you are in your everyday, like, cause, you know, how you treat your people, how you treat yourself. That's, you know, one thing.
That's,
but listen, I have to
go.
I have to go.
Okay, no problem. Take care. Bye.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, so those are some good factors that he mentioned. I was just trying to, you know, basically highlight that, you know, certain types of attitudes or notation that a person carries can affect their moral compass when it comes down to, you know, turning a blind eye to a person or having this attitude of, oh, well, that's their problem. You know, it just has a lot to do with a person being selfish and inconsiderate. Or when a person say, I don't care, can also be in regards to a person having a lack of empathy, not being able to relate to other people in their situation. So these are characteristics that will damage a person's moral compass and values in life. So as he mentioned before, when you are a community, you realize that one person's problem is everybody's problem. It's not just that individual or that one person's problem. And everybody chips in to, you know, find a solution for that person. Nobody's an individual when it comes down to working together as a collective and focusing on what he mentioned before, righteousness. Having that righteous mindset, being able to make a judgment call that is just and right. Okay, one thing that a person has taught me who I value so much, they taught me when you are a person of high esteem or, you know, you've made it in life, you've become successful, three things that you're not supposed to do to other people is walk away, talk about them, or make fun of them. You know, they taught me this, and they elaborated on that, and I can see and I understand clearly what they mean by that, because you have people that will make it in life and would not give a helping hand to the person to pull them up. You know, they would either make mockery of the person or try to, you know, try to compare themselves to the other person to make themselves feel good, and that's not a good thing to do. Or walking away from a person, you know, because you feel that they're not intelligent enough or they're not up to par with you, so you keep them separate from you. That's not, you know, really effective when it comes down to interacting with other people and things of that sort. So when it comes down to moral compass and values, just focus centrically on righteousness, just in general, and what's just. And reevaluate what's of most value to you. And how you do that is you realize what you're investing your time and your energy into, and understand the different things that you are investing in as well. You could be investing in people, you know, or places or material possessions, or these are the things that you value, which are considered sub-values. Okay, so this is how you reevaluate what's of most importance to you in your life. So with that being said, I thank you all for taking the time out for listening to the Natural Radio Show. I know I played, you know, Janae Aiko. I didn't mean to, you know, play that in the beginning of the show. So if you did hear it, you know, please excuse the song. But once again, thank you for listening to the Natural Radio Show. And you all have a wonderful night.